Holding that. What do you get from 4 pounds? If I were to give you six more of those, that's a week's worth of waste.
Does it seem like a lot to you?
Does it seem odd? Is it
No, it seems, I'm not surprised.
You're not at
no.
all. Why not?
It just doesn't seem like a great deal of weight.
It doesn't. In a day, 4 pounds of yeah, I suppose
it seems more than necessary, but.
Mm-hmm. So, any thoughts on your daily waste?
It's probably less.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the ones?
Unless you're talking water waste.
Yeah. Anything in particular that you feel guilty about wasting?
Well, maybe I don't compost as much as I should.
My name is Amelia.
Hi, Amelia. Dakota.
Okay. Hi, Dakota.
So I just gave you a jug that weighs 4 pounds.
Okay.
And what do you think it is, this 4 pound? What do you think it represents?
What it represents?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the amount you pee in a day?
You're pretty darn close,
okay.
Actually. It's the daily consumer waste that we produce on average as Americans.
Yeah. Our bodies or as like throwaway?
Throwaway,
okay.
Trash.
Yeah.
An actual, human waste doesn't go into that factor probably, or commercial or any of that, but this is basic consumer waste, so that's 4 pounds a day, roughly, so about almost 30 pounds a week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what do you think about just the physicality of it, like, anything pop in your head? Does it seem like a lot, a little?
It does. I definitely wouldn't want to carry it around, that's for sure. It's interesting, you kind of think in... Sometimes I try and think in scale of like how much you produce when you throw something little away, repeat it over time. But
so what's your little secret throwaway?
What's my secret throwaway? If I'm cleaning out my car and there's all the stuff I can recycle, but the stuff that can totally be recycled goes into the garbage bag if I'm in a hurry.
Me too. I was going to say mine. I told Keith this. Q-tips.
Yeah.
I love the itch of the inner ear, and I don't need to clean my ears that much. It's absolutely a waste.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, the dental floss picks, too. I was just telling Keith how wasteful they are, but I tried to floss with his normal floss, and I couldn't floss the same. And
you're
it's
right.
Totally wasteful, that piece of plastic that I don't need for that one product. Yeah.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Curious Lighting. I'm your host, Dakota Lacroix. Today's show, we're going to explore the toss-away. The stuff that we discard, throw out, get rid of, don't want to see, don't want to know about any longer. And so we're going to go on a little audio journey today. Oh, all over the world, but we're going to start off local, of course, as we always do. Because isn't everything local? That little piece of trash sitting in the bottom of your car, that bag fluttering around that you don't know what to do with, that Ziploc that you've washed out six times over and dried on your dish rack, and finally it tears at the seams. But there's other things that we toss away as well in our lives. And so today on Curious Lightning, we're going to go down that path and have a look and a listen at, well, what we toss away.
See what Oscar's up to this time. Oh,
yeah.
Oscar, what are you doing? Trash all over here? What are you doing?
Gordon, I feel great today.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah, I'm going through all my trash, just throwing it around and looking at it. It makes a grouch feel terrific.
Oh, yeah?
Just looking at his trash once in a while.
Well,
you know, Gordon, just looking at this trash makes me feel so good. I feel like singing.
You feel like singing?
Yeah.
How about that, Lance? Well, why don't you? Huh?
All right, then I will.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Now, just look at this if you want to see something beautiful. I have here a sneaker that's tattered and worn. It's all full of holes and the laces are torn. A gift from my mother the day I was born. I love it because it's trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Now I'm going to show you something really terrific. I have here some newspaper 13 months old. I've wrapped fish inside it. It's smelly and cold. But I wouldn't trade it for a big pot of gold. I love it because it's trash. Yes, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. And now some more beautiful things. And a clock that won't work and an old telephone. A broken umbrella, a rusty trombone. And I am delighted to call them my own. I love them because they're trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash.
Oh, Oscar, that was a great trash song.
Thanks.
Regular
thanks.
Sanitation serenade. Yeah. I like that one. Oh, that's pretty good. Listen, for your hard work and effort, got a treat for you.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you're going to love this. It's a trip.
First off, how it all began. One day I thought, how nice would it be if I could just take my emotional garbage and leave it on the curb and have someone pick it up and haul it away for me? How nice would that be?
Wonderful.
I agree.
So we developed SRS, which is a free service, a soul trash service, basically, which allows people to rid themselves of objects that hinder their lives. These objects harbor some sort of emotion. They don't have to be all negative or all positive, but there are associations with these objects that hinder lives.
So, through SRS, you can literally take out your soul trash.
Literally. And figuratively, and metaphorically, and
take it out.
What we ask you to do is send in an object, and along with the object, you must have a written description of why you have released the object to SRS. From there, we photograph your object and we incorporate it into our digital landfill. From that point, we take your object and we dispose of it in a ceremonial method. All objects that have been given to SRS can be viewed on our website at www.soulrecoverysystems.com,
where you can view all objects, written descriptions for release, and also the videos of the ceremonial procedures.
Yes. You can also leave comments and view a plethora of other objects on the digital landfill.
So, do yourself a favor. Take out your soul trash.
It will cure you without a doubt.
Thank you.
Here's some examples of objects that have been given to SRS for release purposes. I'll talk a little bit about a few of them. First off, we have a kitty urn filled with beloved ashes. We have a ceramic nun, which represents one woman's repressed youth. We have a bar coaster, which represents a missed connection. And we have a box of cornflakes, which represents the death of someone's mother. So as you can see, all of these objects carry different emotional connotations and can be released in a multitude of ways.
So I recently caught up with Felicity Fenton via phone, so you gotta bear with the quality of the audio that's about to come. But when I interviewed her, I was fascinated by somebody who was interested in not just our consumer trash, not our POOP, not our commercial waste, but a different kind of trash. Some of that stuff being nostalgia, but a lot of it being emotional trash. So what these two did, Felicity Fenton and Michael Hensley, a duo out of Portland, they put together a live landfill, basically, a digital landfill for people to bring objects to them to cast away. So if you could imagine, they received a lot of interesting things. But I wonder, what would you want to get rid of? Do we suddenly give an object this value beyond trash because of an event or a moment that happened to us, or a particular person or place in time affected that object? Because in the society we live in right now, as we know, things come and go. We'll buy a cup of coffee, toss the cup away. Ink cartridges, gone. But these little knickknacks are things that might not have any importance at all to us, suddenly do have value.
A couple of years ago, actually, my mate and I were hiking through Vietnam's beautiful hills, and we decided we thought we should create an emotional garbage disposal service for all of those poor souls out there, including us, including our souls. A place to toss hindered and scarred souls. So thinking about specifically how objects carried that kind of energy and how people hang on to objects and hide them in closets and basements and boxes and don't really know where to put them. We thought it would be a good opportunity to take these objects and allow people to dispose of them and write about why they wanted to dispose of them, so the association of the project, the product. And then we were going to release them with a video. So every object that's disposed to SRS is released with a video, a different video. So a different kind of ceremony for everything.
Now, why soul recovery system, as in, you know, soul has that connotation of being religious in many ways, but there is,
yes,
you know, what?
Well, I do believe in souls and energy, but it's definitely not religious. In fact, there's supposed to be a lot of humor in the name, some irony. So it's kind of, again, I have a lot of like tongue-in-cheek humor in my work. So there's still an element of that, which, you know, soul recovery systems has definitely turned people off. People who are either deeply religious have been sort of skeptic about it, and then also people who are not religious at all and really don't like the term soul and even the concept of it. So it's from one extreme to another has definitely turned people off the name. But people in the middle are just sort of, they just take it for what it is. The videos, they aren't necessarily traditional ceremonial pieces, per se. We've created unique ceremonies specific to reasons people have released their objects. That, you know, the word play kind of comes into mind when we think of any sort of release ceremony. We really wanted to stay playful and, you know, not be too daunting or serious. Although some of the videos are definitely more serious than others, but the dreadlocks specifically, because they came from a place of youth and adolescence, we wanted to kind of play with that concept by creating a magic show. So we had this sort of makeshift magic show on this table, and we magically unwound the dreadlocks into a beautifully unflawed piece of hair.
So part of what Felicity is doing here with this project is asking people to not only give them something they want to get rid of, clear their mind, clear their soul of, but they ask each person to write a description. So these dreadlocks that this person had cut away meant simply more than just hair to her. Let me read you just a little bit of that description that this person, Megan, wrote about these dreadlocks. "Please accept these dreadlocks from me. It took me 3 years to grow them, and after I cut them off, I have been hanging on to them, and they have been keeping me attached to the confusion and the insecurities I left when I was younger." So something attached to our bodies, like our hair, once seen as a symbol of beauty and or pride, suddenly has a new meaning. And by this ceremony that these people are going through of getting rid of a piece of themselves, whether it's a body part or not, has changed them.
The biggest part of the release is for people to sit down and write about these objects or this object or even this idea, because sometimes it's not even objects that people bring to us. I mean, we had somebody give us dogmatism because it was part of their personality and they wanted to just obliterate that from their personality. So it's them sitting down and writing about it that gives us an opportunity to, you know, look at it and turn it into something and then eventually, you know, release it.
And
storytelling.
Yeah. And
methodology.
I guess it would be called animism, you know, the way in which we give spirit and personality to inanimate objects, perhaps.
Sure.
What are some of the, is there a particular object that really struck you out of all that you received?
Oh, they all have such different meaning. I mean, some of them definitely were, there's some that are less thought out than others, and that really shows when people just give something. And we've actually received a lot of things that we haven't released because we didn't find that the meaning was genuine. You know, just trash, essentially, literally trash.
Well, then there's
other things that had deep meaning. I mean, the baby doll belonging to this woman, who, you know, she was one of her first toys. It felt like she was hanging on to her youth and her childhood in an unhealthy way. There's so many. The portfolio of pictures, of photographs, from this really talented artist, and she was just disappointed that she was going to, you know, give them to somebody and that they rejected her gift, and then also just felt rejected as an artist in general. I kind of relate to that. I mean, being an artist, you go through levels of rejection throughout your life. So we created a show for her specifically, and invited people to look at her photographs. I don't know, to connect with a lot of them.
All right, we'll check back in with Felicity in a moment and SRS and her project. We'll hear more about that shortly, but let's get back to some music for the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm better than Julie Andrews. I get more than a few of my favorite things. I spent $700, but I saved 10% on the samurai sword, but I forgot to pay rent. I'm a bottom dealing, system beating, trustworthy guy, and I'll break even when my pet pig learns to fly. It's a wonderful life. It's my down payment. Who wants a llama ride? Anybody? Too soon? Do you need more money?
Yeah.
Do you need more gas?
Oh, yeah.
Do you need a bigger house and a big old car, yeah, and a big old burger on a tiki bar, yeah, and a big old rocket to reach big old Mars? Yeah. Do you?
Yes!
Pride to keep the Joneses at bay. I buy 405. I'm a steak, love and beer, gut and huggable guy, and I used to be friends with the Magnum PI. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Look at my gold-plated thighs. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life.
I was lonely and had nowhere to go. And I heard that you moved on, found a brand new family. And changed your married name.
Well, good afternoon. Again, welcome. I'm your host, Dakota LaCroix, and you are tuned in to Curious Lightning. This show, I think we're calling it the toss away. So, if you will, toss it away. Do it. Get rid of it. Clear it out of your mind. Everything that you've been thinking about up until this moment, look at it all. What's the value of it? What's the meaning of it? I was speaking earlier to Felicity Fenton from Portland, Oregon, an artist who put together a fun little project called Soul Recovery Systems. And this project allows people, just to catch you up to date, to basically discard those things that may be weighing down their soul, their spirit. And so in our daily lives, when you're looking at something, when I'm looking at this can that I have in my hand that's now empty, it really doesn't have value for me anymore. Yes, I can recycle it, chuck it out my window, get a $100 fine, crush it, but I consumed it. It's life is done. Its meaning is done to me. But what Felicity has asked people to do is to give her and her partner Michael, objects that do have value to them, but have been weighing their souls down in some ways. And so we're going to get back to that interview with Felicity now, based out of Portland. And again, bear with me on the audio, since it is somewhat of a poor phone line here.
I'm just going to say there's one in particular that struck me as being more personal than the others, and that was the, I think, man walking into sun or man staring in sun photograph, and that video had you carrying around in your SRS white jumpsuit this letter that you never mailed, and that was addressed to an unknown person. And to me, that was really powerful because it, in many ways, it reminded me that we don't necessarily get closure.
Oh yeah, and in so many ways you don't. That was my release. Michael and I both released a few of our own objects and memories to understand and obviously fully appreciate what it is that we're doing. We decided to do that exercise first, just because I think it's pretty important to do that as an artist, to ask, you know, ask yourself what you're asking of other people. So that was my big, big release, and that was a friend of mine who, really good friend of mine who, he just had a massive falling out, and I really do feel like he died, and I had to let him go, and it was It was a horribly emotional thing for me. So that was interesting, kind of releasing my own release.
Yeah, I gathered that from, you know, it just had a different tone than many of the others, which, you know, did border on the sense of playfulness and sometimes silliness, but not trite in any way and not disingenuous. But this one in particular, you could feel kind of the tug and pull of, you know, of this constant, I guess, chatter that goes on between our past selves and our present selves, you know, trying to be in that present moment. And I think that's part of what's interesting about this project you're doing, is the ceremony has to be a present moment thing. It is active.
Yeah, and you can really create a ceremony with every moment. I mean, every moment deserves some sort of attention. And that's really, I think, what ceremony is just taking care and paying attention and absorbing it in a unique way, because they are unique. The moments are unique. The current project that I'm working on is called Deep Zoom. It's basically a parody of what you would find in any mall. So I created a brand identity, and I packaged things that you would never find in a mall, like chicken poop and plastic broken cups and a bunch of trash and just things that are either disposable or compostable. So I created that, and it was a really long process, thinking about the brand identity and creating the sound piece that goes with the show.
Within seeing that kind of more classical, traditional ceremony of the passing of life, was there any new insight for you for this project or the one you're working on now?
Well, you know, the Deconsume project it's amazing how you can make something totally disposable, and literally you would one day see it on the ground and it'd be, you know, chewed up gum or compost water or sewer water or toilet water, and how you would just see it in everyday life. But when you put it into a beautiful, sparkling vessel and you put a shiny label on it, really adds different context to what it is that you're throwing away. It gives it a sense of life again. It sort of revitalizes it. And how it relates to the funeral, it's my grandfather just died. You know, it's been sort of a whirlwind. I haven't actually had time to even absorb my grandfather's death. He literally just died a few days ago, and I had to fly. I was in New York for work, and then I had to fly directly to his funeral. I did get a chance to say goodbye to him, which I guess was an interesting kind of juxtaposition with SRS. There was closure. I was able to call him, and right, I wrote him a letter even before I talked to him to say goodbye.
Wow.
So, because he knew he was dying, so there was this expectation of it, and I think it's a lot harder for people to find closure when things are, you know, happen that are completely unexpected. So
we are such a disposable culture, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, but yet at the very end of our lives we often fork out $25,000 to entomb ourselves, enshrine ourselves so that people can see us in a loving light, so that last image is one of preservation. Yet we discard everything else in our lives, yet we, at the very end, spend an exorbitant amount of money to preserve ourselves.
Oh, and it's true. And my grandfather actually planned everything out to a T, literally paid for his casket, chose the casket, chose the bedding in the casket, chose what he would be wearing, chose the food that they would be eating, we'd be eating at the wake, chose all of the flowers, all of the masses. Very Catholic, so he had a lot of masses. And then even wrote his own obituary. And he really did that because he didn't want people to spend a certain amount of money past his budget. So it is interesting how much effort and time people put into that. I mean, it took him a long time to do that. I think he's been working on his funeral arrangements since the 80s. I feel like I had a really great release with my grandfather's death, and I don't feel like there's any kind of trash there. But the horrible thing that happened at my grandfather's funeral, which I may still have some trash, some soul trash attached to, is my great aunt died on the spot looking at his body at the wake. So my grandmother lost her husband of 70 years and her last living sibling in a matter of 3 days. So that's going to take some time to absorb the whirl, and also just the grandmother is going through. So my ceremony for that situation is to write her letters every week and send her little care packages and loving thoughts and actions that she might be able to.
So what ceremony do we give to the things we consume, the things we throw out, discard, or even forget? Is there a particular ceremony that speaks to you? Is there joy in washing out that yogurt container and recycling? Is there heartache in staring at an old plastic wind-up doll that a lover gave to you years ago? Again, that was Felicity Fenton, and her project was called SRS Soul Recovery Systems, and you can find it online. And in fact, if you have an item, feel free to send it to her and release it if that helps for you. Okay, let's take a break from the interviews and get back to a little bit of music, and then we'll check back in with a bit of a twist on today's theme of tossing away.
But you'll peek through and there'll be sun, sun, sun all over our bodies, and sun, sun, sun all down our necks, and there'll be sun, sun, sun all over our faces, and sun, sun, sun. So what the heck, 'cause I'll be laughing at all of your
silly little jokes, and we'll be laughing about how we used to smoke all those stupid little cigarettes and drink stupid wine, 'cause it's what we needed to have a good time. But it was fun, fun, fun when we were drinking. It was fun, fun, fun when we were drunk, and it was fun, fun, fun when we were laughing. It was fun, fun, fun. Oh, it was fun. That I've ever been, and I'll say, I no longer feel I have to be James Dean, and she'll say, yeah, well, I feel pretty happy too, and I'm always pretty happy when I'm just kicking back with you. And if you love, love, love all through our bodies, and love, love, love all through our minds, and if we love, love, love all over her face, and love, love, love all over mine. And though just in my head, I'll be thinking about them as I'm lying in bed, and I know that admittedly they might not even come true, but in my mind I'm having a pretty good time with you. Oh, in 5 years' time I might not know you, in 5 years' time we might not speak of.
My man, you'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself, take all the courage you have left and waste it on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really f***ed it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my dear? Tremble for yourself, my man. You know that you have seen this all before. Tremble, little lion man, you'll never settle any of your scores. Your grace is wasted in your face, your boldness stands alone among the wreck. Now learn from your mother, or I'll spend your days biting your own neck. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really f***ed it up this time, didn't I, my dear? But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I ripped it up this time, didn't I, my dear?
And it was your heart on the line. I really f***ed it up this time. Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
Good afternoon, KTRT listeners. You are listening to Curious Lightning. I am your audio guide this afternoon. So the first half of the show, we were dealing with trash. The disposable life that we live, the things that we discard. And we were speaking with Felicity Fenton on the line from Portland and her project SRS. We're going to switch gears now to actually things we don't necessarily throw away, but that we reuse, we recycle. I have in my midst, in the realm of KTRT's audio extravaganza afternoon show and tell, Susan Ernsdorf from the Meadow Valley Recycling. And I'm just going to read a little excerpt here from The Ethical Artifact of Trash. And this is by Barry Allen. And this kind of plays a little bit to what Susan's seeing on a daily basis. He writes, "The most impressive thing about our trash is how well it is made. A plastic juice container tossed in the trash is astonishingly well made. The regularity of the surfaces, the fine hard ridges of the screw top, the elegant fusion of the bottoms and the walls, all rendered in a light, transparent medium. How was it made? Was it its material? How were the colors applied? What is the source of the exquisitely regulated in workmanship? Yet to us, it is an incidental utility in an enduring trash. Why is our trash so well made? Primarily because it is mass produced. Its conditions are of industrial automation. Leonardo would look at it and think, He would look at it through the lens of a culture whose manufacturers depended almost entirely on the ability of the individual workman to manage the unpredictable qualities of the material. In other words, handmade things. And so Susan's dealing with a lot of these things that are our mass-produced waste, things that we throw away carelessly, the one use primarily in our lives, and ends up in her mitts. And so could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's interesting, Dakota. What I was just talking to you about while we were offline is another thing besides learning about the people in the Valley and the businesses in the Valley. At the Recycling Center, I also get to see about new product developments. And the one I was just sharing with you is how the latest thing I've been seeing in the aluminum bin are aluminum bottles. So there's incredible teams of design people working away somewhere, figuring out how they can kind of upscale the whole aluminum packaging thing. Instead of the boring aluminum can that's been around forever, they're making these snazzy, long, skinny neck bottles and some really interesting shapes. In fact, if you're down at the Recycling Center and I'm there or whatever, in on my desk in the office, I have four of them. And so, you know, the whole thing about product differentiation and trying to make yourself stand out from other ones is another thing I get to see, you know, just see what's going on.
Is there a point in our lives where we, you know, when does it stop? You know, when is it, how do we change our thinking? I mean, I've never known anything but going to the store and getting what I want when I want it. And when I'm done with it, I don't want to see it. I'm not going to keep that. Is there...
But now, are you saying that as like, looking backwards, because it sounds like you have a higher level of awareness than that now. You know, I think we're all starting to, the whole trash thing is getting a lot more publicity, and hopefully
but
we're...
But again, how do we make that relevant to us? I mean, that's that, how do we, you know, we live in this biosphere that is essentially India's home, you know, Africa is home, Somalia is home, Wenatchee is home, but yet... When we don't see things, it's not ours anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that ability
that's right.
to throw yeah. something out the window. And so I guess, you know, the recycling is it's very much actually, as I was talking about in the first half of the show, there seems to be a particular ceremony behind it. mm-hmm. the act of mm-hmm. recycling. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's actually interesting, you know, psychology behind that, as we were talking about, in which people like myself, we tend to upsell our greenness, so to mm-hmm. speak, even mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. world. And so I wonder...
Well, again, you're delving into very deep issues, you know. You hope as a culture that we're progressing along, we've gone to this total throwaway society and that we're moving away from it. We're starting to have more awareness. You know, globalism is like a two-edged sword in that things come from far away and we don't know what's happening, but the level of the information highway has allowed us to learn more about what's happening in other places. And one reason, I mean, the reason that electronics are recyclable in Washington now for free is because about 4 years ago there was a big expose about all the electronics that was getting sent over to China, and there was video of, I think it was on 60 Minutes, there was videos of these smoldering trash heaps where they were just burning all the plastic off to get at the valuable metals. And when Westerners, when we who threw that stuff away saw that, we said, well, that's not okay. It's not okay that these people are polluting their rivers and polluting the sky with our electronics. And so what happened in the state of Washington and numerous other states is they passed what's called take-back legislation, which requires the manufacturers to set up a system and pay for it and certify all the environmental appropriateness, correctness of it. So in the state of Washington, the manufacturers pay for the system, computers and TVs, and they've had to go overseas and do all inspections and make sure everything's done all well and everything.
So, right, I mean, back to that conundrum, as I was talking about reading from that article, here we have items that are meant to last months, if not years, you know, printer mm-hmm. cartridges,
right,
printers.
Right, right.
And I go into the store and I look at this, I have this printer cartridge in my hand, they want $39.95, and I look and the printer's $34.95.
Right.
You know, $5 cheaper.
Right. And so you throw it out.
So I get rid of my mm-hmm. old printer mm-hmm. and get a new cartridge mm-hmm. and printer. And so I guess, but...
Well, I'd say a big role in an evolution is people like you, journalists, radio professionals, you know, that are spreading the word and getting people to think more about stuff. So, mm. yeah.
In my playful, you know, dramatic mind, I used to look at trash on the side of the road, and I would always wonder... What if you could fingerprint? You know, what if it actually that, or not on necessarily even on the side of the road, but the amount of waste, suddenly you actually had an identification mm-hmm. to it that it mm-hmm. was Dakota's.
Mm-hmm.
I might act a little differently towards my use.
And I'll tell you, having worked in Seattle and having worked here, it makes a big difference when it's a drop-off recycling center like ours is, where people can be seen, they're visually associated with dropping their stuff off, it leads to a lot cleaner product than in Seattle, where it's a curbside thing and people can just kind of dump whatever in the bin and it gets dumped into a truck and off it goes. And so,
well, there's
is,
a thoughtfulness,
you know,
behind our actions. Mm-hmm. There's an intention, mm-hmm. isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, let's close out this little session. I know you wanted to mention a few people and thank yous
also wanted to say that Metal Recycles is a nonprofit that we're funded through sales of materials and donations, and we're also primarily staffed with volunteers. So I just wanted to acknowledge that you know, I'm fortunate to get to be a paid manager there, but boy, the place wouldn't run with all the fabulous volunteers. So
yeah, they're eagle eyes, man. I start getting nervous and a little sweaty when I'm like, oh, this pizza box, I know it's got a little oil on it. I'm sneaking it in.
So Dakota asked me he said, play some fiddle music that's inspired by the recycling center. And so I started thinking, you know, I don't write music, but what old-time fiddle tune do I know that would... And the one I came up with, which I just started laughing when I thought about, there's this tune that I'll play. It's called Old Yeller Dog Came Running Through the Meeting House. And to me, that represents this wild, chaotic influence on something that maybe was kind of running orderly. And that's a way I feel about the recycling center. Like, I never know what kind of wild thing is going to come in. For instance, the big wild thing that happens is they bring a roll-off of cardboard from the supermarket. Okay, so a roll-off full of cardboard. Doesn't matter what you were doing, cardboard now dominates the scene, you know. Or sometimes there'll just be all of a sudden 10 cars out in the parking lot, and it's just chaotic. And
tell me real quick before we do the a musical piece from you. What's the odd, I mean, literally, what's the oddest thing somebody's tried to recycle? Like a shag carpeted TV set, a ceramic Shetland pony? I mean, what are people, there's got to be something that somebody's like put in front of you and said, I'd like to recycle this, please. And you look at it and...
Oh, I know one thing we have that's really cool. It's an aluminum I think it was the little animal that goes up and down like on a merry-go-round. And they brought it in to recycle it because it's aluminum.
Oh, one of the classic merry-go-rounds.
It's actually cool. We kept that, you know. Yeah, so.
Beautiful.
Sorry, you should have hit me with that question earlier. I could have pondered over all the odds and ends we've received.
Well, let's.
Here's a good one. They got a new stadium at the high school this summer, and we recycled the steel out of the old one. So we got, you know, all the parts that go into making a full-on stadium. So that was
and in a way, that's somewhat of a donation, isn't it? At the cost of metals, I would imagine,
oh,
on
yeah.
the market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for your time. And KTRT listeners, we are going to close out this session with Susan, who happens to be an extremely talented musician as well. So let's get right into it.
He lived in India, and his name was Gandhi. He believed in human rights, and he fought for equality. He felt so strongly that he trained himself, cause he realized first he'd have to change himself. He changed his clothes and decided to walk. Some days he practiced silence and refused to talk. When he was young, he studied to be a lawyer, and then he became a great spiritual warrior. He read from the scriptures of every religion, came to the realization that we're all God's children. Because he understood that we're all equal, he became a spokesman for the people, a karma yogi devoted to service. To spread truth and peace was his purpose. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Gandhi dedicated his life to the cause, even when it meant breaking unjust laws. He often faced prison and incarceration, but that only strengthened his determination. He said he would make every sacrifice, but that he would never kill or take a life. He used his heart instead of his fist, and he taught nonviolence as the way to resist. A peaceful soldier who used his mind to fight for the rights of humankind, but not just people, animals too. In his basic teaching, God is truth. He joined Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus, Christians, Buddhists, Jains, and Jews. All the many paths that lead into the light that shines bright inside of me and you. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi. Gandhi taught an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, and it takes more strength and faith to be kind. With that in mind, Gandhi took a stand against the foreign occupation of his land. When things got violent, Gandhi would fast, not eating for days until the riots would pass. But the biggest event that made the British halt is when Gandhi G decided to harvest salt. The British Empire installed a salt tax, and stealing salt was an unlawful act. So Gandhi and his peeps took to the streets. 10,000 deep, they marched to the beach. But when they arrived, they were beaten with clubs. But they didn't fight back, instead they chose love. The foreign military realized they were wrong and eventually decided to go back home. You see, Gandhi G was a very great leader, but before all that, he was shy and meager. As a young child, he was just like you and me, before he became Mahatma Gandhi. The word Mahatma, it means great soul, and it's inside of us just waiting to unfold. If you follow your heart and act real bold, next time it'll be your story that's told. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Just like Gandhi.
Good afternoon, and thank you for spending the afternoon with me. We're going to close things out here with a little bit of a trip, a little journey that I took down to a fashion recycling show. And this wasn't just any fashion recycling show. This was, well, it was unique because you have a lot of people dressing up, playing dress up, basically, with non-traditional couture. And so we had recycled aluminum cans, we had recycled maps, we had recycled tents, your very non-traditional items that will often end up in a landfill. And for one night only, people strutted their stuff and put on a good show to raise money and awareness for such causes as this. And so we're going to close out this show today with some of those audio clips through that journey. And I do appreciate you spending the afternoon with me, and very special thanks to Susan Ernsdorf, who gave us a little bit of her time and musical prowess, not to mention her knowledgeable background in recycling. So thank you very much for that, Susan. And again, this is KTRT 97.5, and you've been listening to Curious Lightning.
Is that kind of like a geographical ABBA?
Yeah, I actually had to kind of tame that down a little bit. I was surprised, actually.
Did you have glow-in-the-dark nipple paint, or what?
Yes, absolutely. These nips will glow in the dark. But basically, I'm wearing a vest that's made out of maps that's lined in green felt. And I think we call this Wanderlust.
Yeah, where do you want to be right now?
I would love to be in India, actually, right now.
So are you going to go out there with a whole Tantra look and just tease away down the...
I have a feeling I'm going to be going out there to Lady Gaga. That's just kind of the feel, what I'm getting.
Why India?
Well, because I've been listening to MC Yogi a lot lately.
Uh-huh. That's your inner spirit right now?
Right now, yeah. It's about the elephant, actually.
Tell me about it.
I don't
know. So that's your inner, instead of the inner tiger, you're the inner elephant?
Yeah, the inner elephant. You know, I'm just kind of learning about it, but I think the elephant represents kind of a strong being, kind of in your core, apparently, to MC Yogi.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your look? Everybody's got a look. What are you going out there? How are you going to own this crowd?
You know, I'm going to own it with a look of, you know, I'm going to be the traveler. I'm going to be someone who they'll envision, they'll see themselves in me.
Hare Krishna, Sri Krishna, you pure charisma.
try and make it as long of a performance as possible. So if you haven't ever walked a runway before, which I'm sure most of you have, because
I have not.
We live in the fabulous Meadow. Just take your time, feel the beat of the music. All the songs will be good for walking, and ham it up as much as you can because there's some good prize money. So the route is going to be right when we...
Are we going to right side of the pillar?
Right when we come out, you're going to go on the right side of the pillar. Make us, at every turn, you might want to do a quick stop. And definitely in front of the judges, you need to stop and show your number so they can judge you. Make sure it's...
Finesse is so fresh, chilling on his throne, surrounded by incense, fruit and gold, with a heap of sweets piled in his bowl. He guards the gate and protects the threshold. When you're blessed by Ganesh, then you can travel on a sacred journey to an inner temple. He paves the path that leads to your soul, and he's known for removing all obstacles. Now some may think it's illogical, a myth or just philosophical.
It doesn't sound like a good one. I mean, who wants to recycle?
No, I mean, you should recycle.
Nah.
No.
Convince me.
Well.
Nope, don't want to do it.
I'm not really sure.
But genuinely, there is an important element to this fashion show, so you're obviously participating because it does mean something.
Yeah, you know, I think the purpose is to just bring awareness to that what we throw away can actually be repurposed, can be reused, if you will, and that we have to start looking at our waste in a different way. You know, instead of just discarding it and having no connection to it, there is obviously always a connection to the things that we purchase and buy.
Some people have talked about a childlike essence to recycling, the things we play, you know, want to reuse and play with. You know, is there any of that, you know, like that? Are you creating from a childlike place at all, or are you?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I always grew up, actually, my grandfather always went into a dumpster and pulled things out, and he made yard darts out of objects. He could make the rings and the darts from any kind of metal he found. We would also he would actually carve little dolls, you know, for my sisters.
From what kind of material?
You know, he would find a lot of wood. He'd find wood, a lot. He liked to carve soap. So, and
actual carved soap? Is that what
he would carve soap? So I don't know. He would find old bars of soap. He would find anything. I mean, he would find.
Oh, interesting. What would he carve them into? Like animals or
animals? Whatever we want. Actually, I don't know. He just liked to carve. Actually, he liked to fish a lot. So we definitely got a lot of fish soap.
Almost. Actually, getting back to your core place of India, what's one of the largest, you know, populations in the world that basically live amongst these miles of trash heaps, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.